Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everyone is doing well wherever you are. I know it's pretty, for the in Eastern Standard Time, our iftar is now getting later and later, so it's 8:41. It's tough for us to get on right away as well, but I'm not sure if there's a point of changing the time to 9:30 for the last three nights. So inshallah, we'll hope everyone's doing well. If you're wherever you are in the world, if you're about to eat iftar, if you're in central time, I think you probably break your fast right now. If you're in Eastern Standard Time, you've already broken your fast. You have your dood patti in your hand. And if you're in UK, I think you're about suhoor time over there. Anywhere else in the world, may Allah bless you, reward you, and continue to accept everything from you and your family, inshallah. For us in North America, we're getting into the night of the 27th night. And it is, you know, it's high time now. It's high time. You know, it's unbelievable. I was reading today that the reason, one of the reasons why Laylatul Qadr is called Laylatul Qadr, because Qadr means when it's constriction. And just imagine New York City highway, and there's so much traffic, rush hour time in the morning, people going to work, or in the evening when they're coming back from work, rush hour, Chicago. And so much traffic, and just bumper to bumper. Right now, it's bumper to bumper from the skies to the earth on the night of Laylatul Qadr, because angels flock down to the earth where they see the gatherings of dhikr, and there's no night in the year where there's more gatherings of dhikr being done compared to this night right now that we're in, which starts after Maghrib. So imagine all the angels coming down, and that's why it's restricted. The horizon, the skies are, there's no space either coming down, going up. And in one hadith, it talks about how they take away the light of the sun, because it's so much nur coming up and down. They're bringing messages from Allah, and they're coming to say salam to us. They're taking our dhikr up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling Allah that we're making dua. And this goes back to tanazzalu alayhim al-malaikatu, right? And so alhamdulillah, Allah make us among those who benefit from this night, inshallah. And be among those who الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. Right, there's this traffic jam, this rush hour, like all the angels coming down, up, and angels are there in our presence, in our gathering, listening to us, hearing our Quran, hearing our du'as, saying Ameen, saying Salam. All we hear right now is Salam, 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 Salam. And you know, والروح فيها أيضا, you know, it comes in the Quran in Surah Al-Qadr that Allah says that even Jibreel as-salam comes down to the earth. And so there are some very lucky, fortunate people that Jibreel as-salam comes to their homes, in their presence, and he listens to their Quran. He's the one that used to bring the Quran down to the Prophet as-salam. He heard the best of all reciters. But imagine you could be the one that intrigues him and he listens to you. He heard the best of all du'as, but imagine your du'a could be the one that he just says, I want to be around this person. When Khadija found out that the problem, Jibreel comes in her house and he's saying salam to her and he's conveying Allah's salam to her, she was so excited. How excited should we be? And shouldn't we be motivated to be doing that which could bring about the presence of angels in our homes, in our masajid? Aisha said that the happiest thing of my life is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ left this world in my house while his head was in my lap. Just thinking that how many angels must have come down to receive the Prophet ﷺ as he was leaving this world. I mean, we cannot even count. So all those angels were in her house. So she felt so honored that they were in her house. So inshallah, this is that night. This is the night, you know. So we need to try our best for the ones who are in North America. The ones who are anywhere else in the world, may Allah, hopefully you did your ibadah and you feel good that you could do whatever you could have done in your capacity. And now, inshallah, Allah will accept your deeds and give you more opportunities. We still have few more nights. So keep that in mind as we are approaching the end of Ramadan. And how Sister Majda, I was just about to say that, how Sister Majda just said about, especially the Palestinians who are in Palestine, who are going through, who are holding it down over there. You know, make dua for them. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them comfort and joy in their life. They can just eat iftar and suhoor, you know, and with peace. You know, they can be with their families. And so just make lots of dua for them, and everybody else in the world, inshallah. I'm going to bring on, so since today is the 27th Juz, and Surah Rahman is the 27th Juz, I benefited from this person, one of my students, when my brother, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Abdullah, passed away. We would bring him to our house all the time, and we would just sit there and listen to him recite Surah Rahman. It brought us so much comfort. Surah Rahman and Surah Waqiyah. We would go to the masjid for Jum'ah, and after Jum'ah Salat, we'd bring him to the front and say, recite Surah Rahman for us. No speeches, no books, just recite Surah Rahman for us. And specifically the verses that he's going to recite today. And we would just sit down and cry and benefit so much from it. I can't begin to tell you how beautiful that feeling was, listening to him reciting Surah Rahman and Waqiyah. So I don't want to deprive you all of that. So inshallah, I'm going to ask him to come on and start, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ذواتا أفنان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان تجريان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما من كل فاكهة زوجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على فرش بطائنها من استبرق وجنى الجنتين دان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ومن دونهما جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مدهامتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان نضاختان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما فاكهة ونخل ورمان
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ حور مقصورات في الخيام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على رفرف خضر وعبقري حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح ممدود في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عروا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله تبارك الله تقبل الله نور الهدى نورت قلوبنا وشرحت صدورنا ونسأل الله أن يرفع منزلك في الدنيا والآخرة وجعلنا من الذين إذا قيل لهم اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلتك عند آخر آية تقرأها. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and me and all of us amongst those that on the day of judgment when the angels ask us to recite, we recite like the way you used to recite in this dunya, and we ascend our levels in Jannah and unite us with the loved ones who have left us, and most importantly, unite us with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Noor, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Saab. We're just getting ready for Maghrib. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is my Khatm al-Quran, requesting you especially and everyone else to make dua for me, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us.
I can see his Khatm al-Quran. He got a nice haircut. He's fresh.
Right.
All right, make dua for us in the Khatm al-Quran, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers, sisters, please say salam to brother Noor and jazakumullah khair for his beautiful recitation.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum Mufti Saab. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how are you doing? I mean, you can't be doing any better than that, man, after hearing those verses.
So beautiful. So beautiful. You know, you don't have to hear a speech after that.
True.
You know, Salman Farsi came to Iraq and he recites Surah Yusuf and people started getting up and leaving. He's like, what's wrong with you guys? Like this, there is no speech, no mu'idah, no reminder better than the Quran. It's so beautiful.
But then, you know, I think like ever since, you know, I've been watching Affected by the Quran series, and I think it's important for people to get attached to certain verses in the Quran and with a memory. Because when you go back to those verses and you go back to that memory, it gives you a different feeling.
It does.
For example, like when we hear Surah Rahman and Surah Waqi'ah now, all we remember is Nur Huda or Idris or some of the students reciting it the day of Jum'ah after the khutbah, you know, in the gym, reciting in our homes in the evenings, every evening, just coming, just reciting, and we're all sitting there crying. I mean, so you're attached to those verses now forever. Every single time you hear them, you think about this, so it keeps you grounded, right? It brings you back to that moment which you were the most heartbroken, and hopefully with the most, the more broken your heart is, the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you go back to that moment again, over and over again. So I urge everyone, man, like, have verses of the Quran that you can just bank on, go back to, and attach them to a memory. If that would help you. That's what the Sahaba did, right? They would always go back to a verse that they heard with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I walked into the room, Aisha was reciting this verse, and you know, those things keep on helping them, you know, stay grounded and, you know, go back and rejuvenate their iman. So when I hear Nur Huda recite these, that's why I told him to recite Waliman Khaf Maqam from there till end of Surah Waqid. We would always hear him do that over and over again. How many times you heard that in the first 2 weeks after our brother passed away? And every time we would recite it, we would cry, man.
It's very therapeutic.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Man.
I mean, that's the wa'ad. The promise, the belief in the wa'ad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the belief in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. I mean, we believe in that, you know, which is, it's just a matter of time when we see it ourselves. And that, like, subhanAllah, Allah is so kind with us that He's given us these verses to find comfort. And He's given us this insight of Jannah and this insight on the beds of Jannah, the fruits of Jannah, the food of Jannah, the rivers of Jannah. So when you don't have to be worried about someone that you lost. You know they're in a, and imagine we didn't know this much about Jannah. In ala sururin mutaqabilin yutafu alayhim bika'sin min ma'in bayda'a ladhdatin lish-sharibin. When you're hearing this, you know you know that this person is taken care of. Cuz the Quran, hadha kitabullahi, hadha kitabullahi yantiqu baynana.
Absolutely. But then the thing is, you know, when so we're hearing Surah Rahman, and the Prophet ﷺ, one day, imagine Jabir says that one day he walks out, he sits down, and then he just recites Surah Rahman from the beginning till the end.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And after he recites it, everyone's like pin drop silence for a second two. And then he says, لَقَدْ قَرَأْتُهَا عَلَى الْجِنَّةِ لَيْلَةَ الْجِنِّ. I recited this surah upon the jinns, the night where the jinns gathered. فَكَانُوا أَحْسَنَ مَرْدُودًا مِنْكُمْ. He said, they were better in response than you all. كُنْتُ كُلَّمَا أَتَيْتُ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ. Every single time I came across this verse, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of your Lord's favors can you deny? They would say, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعْمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبْ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. لا بشيء من نعمك ربنا نكذب فلك الحمد. There's no ni'mah that we can deny, or there's nothing about any aspect of any ni'mah, oh Allah, that we can deny, that we can say it's not from your grace, it's not from your bounty. So all praises for you, all praises for you. So every single time you came across فبأي آلاء ربكم تكذبان, the jinns responded like that. But the Sahaba just stayed quiet out of respect for the Prophet. He was just teaching us a lesson, you know. Think about it. Reflect over that. It's unbelievable. And, you know, when we recite these, so the 27 juz, you know, if you think about it, it's you know, it starts with, you know, Surah Tur and Najm. Allah, in Surah Najm, there's the whole aspect of Mi'raj. And Mi'raj, the Prophet is being shown things that he was being promised for all these years, and now he's being shown that. This is the punishments and these are the rewards. And now he's seeing that now. And then, and as we move forward, the first surah Qamar, now it's more of a warning. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِ وَنُذُرْ repeats itself many times. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِ وَنُذُرْ repeats itself. And then as you enter into Surah Rahman and Surah Waqia, you start getting the picture of Jannah. You know, لَيْسَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ شَيْءٌ مِمَّا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا الْأَسْمَاءِ. It's Ibn Abbas said that, in Jannah, there's nothing of this dunya, except for that which it shares the same names. So just because when we say house in Jannah, the only thing similar between the house of Jannah and the house of this world is the name of it. The only thing similar between the apple of Jannah and the apple of this world is the name of it. It's naysa fil jannati shay'un mimma fid dunya illa al-asma. So, but at least we can try to picture, you know, Surah Rahman starts with certain like beautiful things that Allah has created, looking at these things so that we can get our creative lens on, so that we can start to imagine things of Jannah. And then Surah Waqia goes in the same way. And then one of the last verses in Surah Hadid, it concludes, Hadid is iron, you know, وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ. It concludes that after all these, you know, verses of Rahman and you know, Waqia about the people of that are going forward, why does, you know, even the iron softens up? How about yours, right? That's why the ayah that is so profound, that changed many, many people's lives when they heard it, was أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَّلَ الْحَقِّ. It comes from, right?
Wow. Allah talks about the softness of hadid, iron, and then he talks about the hearts. It's time for them to get soft. You know, in my affected series, I never use this ayah. You know that? Wow. I said, maybe if we just did a season two, this ayah has at least 10 stories.
So many stories. Abdul Mubarak, you know, is it not, tell the people what the ayah means even. Is it not time now after hearing all this, after hearing Nur Huda's recitation and being with Miftah for this entire month in different programs and everything, and whatever you're going through in your life, Allah says specifically over here, has the time not come for those who believe? Thanks a lot, Brother Kashif, that their hearts should become humble and submissive at the remembrance of Allah and what is revealed to them, right? Subhanallah, right? But then, like, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ طَالَ عَلَيْهُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And don't become like those people who kept on hearing and procrastinating, and the effect of that procrastination was that their hearts became hardened, right? But اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who revives the dead earth after it dies. So Allah can revive your heart. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter. Just go back to it. Go back to it. So that's this whole juz. Subhanallah. But you know, people who are sitting here who may not understand Surah Rahman and Surah Waqiyah, may not understand the tafsir of it, the depth of it, the gems of it. I got this. I have one hadith for you as well. I love this hadith. Honestly, it's the coolest thing that a person probably said to the Prophet. It's the coolest thing. There's a Bedouin comes and he makes a dua after tashahud. He recites two rakats and after tashahud, he's reading a little loud and he recites a dua. And his dua was very, very straightforward, you know. He just asks, Allahumma inni asaluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min al-nar. You know, so the Prophet asked him, what did you say in your dua? Like, the Prophet used to ask questions, and then his questions was a method of teaching, not a criticizing. You know, like, what did you recite after tashahud? Mm-hmm. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, the only dua I know is Allahumma inni asaluka al-jannah, oh Allah, I ask for paradise, wa a'udhu bika min al-nar, and I seek refuge from fire of Jahannam. And then he says something very interesting. So he's probably been around the Prophet, he's a Bedouin, he's probably been around the Prophet, and he's been hearing, and he's probably seen him sitting at tashahud, making tashahud very long, or dua very long, and this dude just makes, you know, quick his dua, and he's leaving, you know. So he says, "Amma inni la ahsanu dandanataka, wala dandanata mu'adhin." He says, "You know, I cannot beautify the whispers and the, you know, the dandana means like the humming, you know, because the problem is." He's doing this, so you can hear the humming, the whispers that are coming out of the Prophet's mouth. He said, I'm not good at beautifying those, nor am I good at beautifying the ones that Mu'adh says, because Mu'adh is an alim, you know, sahabi, so he mentions Mu'adh on the name.
Wow.
So the Prophet says, so he says both their names in the same sentence, and the Prophet, subhanAllah, replies to him, like, hawlaha nudandinu, hawlaha nudandinu. Let me tell you something, brother. That's all we're asking for. We just ask in different ways. But at the end of the day, all we're asking for is Jannah and refuge from Jahannam. You know, so you don't have to know the details of it, but it is around the theme that we're begging Allah to help us and to save us from
that. That is Jannah. A beautiful, beautiful narration.
Hawlaha nudandin, hawlaha nudandin. Subhanallah, man.
That's what we're whispering too.
That's all everyone's doing in their own way. But at the end of the day, فَمَنْ زُحْزِي عَنِ النَّارِ وَدُخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. خلاص, you know, that's all we're hoping for.
That's a beautiful story. The honesty of these Bedouins too is amazing.
Yeah, it's honest. It's like not like stretching it out. The thing is, you know, everyone has, like, for me, when we talk about, you know, I have to say this. So when you talk about Jannah, definitely, you know, you have the reward of dunya. Like, you're like, okay, that's later, right? But Jannah is being spoken about to give us motivation. But that doesn't mean like we're not going to get the reward in this dunya. That's number one. And number two, everyone in Jannah, like, there are, I mean, the people who are going through challenges, but what comforts you the most as you lose your brother is you're going to see him again in Jannah. My favorite hadith about Jannah. I know the one about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, and that's top. But one of the favorite hadith about Jannah is, you know, if when someone's son passes away and his family shows up, when we go to Jannah, like, the roads of Jannah are not made out of concrete and asphalt that have potholes, but they're made out of diamonds and pearls. So you're walking on diamonds and pearls. They're on your feet. Allah said, you never bow down for it. I'm going to make it bow down for you in Jannah.
Wow. There it is
on your feet, you know, scattered in front of you.
Wow.
And so you walk in, as you're getting to Jannah, one of the tafsir, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. One of them is, you're going to be going to Jannah with an entourage. so many angels ushering you to Jannah. Like, you know, a guy, someone's coming, you're not going to be going alone. It's going to be a spectacle. Every Jannati, it's going to be a spectacle as you're going to
Jannah. Everyone's going to be a king.
Oh, man. So, you know, you're going to walk towards this usher, you're going to be ushered toward Jannah. And so you're going there, the angels are taking you there. Imagine Allah has prepared creations for you. Some say angels. Their only job is to decorate Jannah. Like, they have no other job. You have some people that are created, some say angels. Their only job is to cook for you. They know what food, they're your chefs. Khalas, that's it. They have no other job but to make sure they bring the best food for you. You don't need no interior designers. That's all they do, is to beautify and adorn Jannah. You know, you have animals that have been grazing, like buffalo, one of the first meats we're going to eat after the fish, is been grazing in Jannah from the day the Jannah was made until we get there. Grazing.
Imagine that steak in Jannah.
SubhanAllah, right?
That's you don't like steak, huh?
It doesn't matter. In Jannah, I'm going to love it.
But you don't eat red meat?
Not really. Not now.
You don't eat steak?
Not really, not many, no.
Yeah, it's you guys, you know, you brown brothers, you like chicken.
I'm a chicken guy, yeah, we're chickens.
Chicken biryani, chicken, this chicken korma. Man, you gotta get into the meat stuff.
No. We went to one place and made it very lightly done. They're like, if you eat it well done, then you'd rather just eat vegetables. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then they brought lightly done, it was like still dripping. I'm like, oh, I mean, it was one of the most difficult meals I ate in my life.
You know, Arabs like it that way.
I know. And the guy's like straight up.
Arabs could. They'll eat the meat off the back of the cow without even cooking it.
They're like, brother, if you eat well done, then you just rather eat vegetables. Khalas, why are you eating meat?
No, Arabs, when we look at animals, we look at them different, right? But Arabs, when we look at the animals, they look at like, it's like, you just start drooling.
What?
Even vegetables. When they see vegetables, like, they get so excited. They're just more grateful than us, I think.
It's okay. I mean, why do you make that sound for, man?
I mean, I saw, like, look at that big fat cow. It's so juicy. I never thought about it that way. Like, you know,
let the cow live, man. Like,
don't live, man. Let him have some more grass and give some more milk. Give him another evening, man. Like, stop thinking about his juicy cow.
So I was saying that one of my favorite hadith about Jannah is, as you're being ushered there, your son or your relative, who's, you know, because like Shaheed, like our brother, inshallah, will already be at the gates of paradise waiting for his father. And when our father gets there, inshallah, he will grab, hadith says, he will grab his father's hands, his mother's hands, and give him a tour of Jannah. SubhanAllah, because he's already there, he's recognized everything, right? So when you come into the new house, you're going to buy a new house, and your family comes, this is my guest room, and this is my master bedroom, and this is this. Imagine your son, people who lost their children, their family members, inshallah, that are in Jannah, they're going to give a tour. So right when you get there, the first thing you're going to see is your family, and that's already going to be so, like, you're going to be over the top right when that happens. And they're going to be like, oh, well, let me take you for a tour. Dad, this is your house right here, you know, right here. The door of this is from the sky to the earth. Look, this is your place right here. Then the mom, this is where we, and this is what this is, and this is the river of that. And they'll be giving a tour. And that, to me, like, I just can't imagine that feeling. Seriously, I just can't imagine.
What's that show watching when, like, they take homes, HQ TV or something? Where, like, yeah, you don't have TV at home, but, you know, when you go to dental offices, the show's on where people are buying homes and just flipping them. People get so mesmerized how the kitchen looks before and how the kitchen looks after. Imagine how Jannah is going to look. One Bedouin, and came to the Prophet ﷺ, like, how's the houses in Jannah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, lu'lu, you know? Like, it's so, so big, and it's pearls, rubies. And he said, where is it going to be? He said, suspended in the heavens, suspended in the sky. 70 years journey. So this Bedouin's like, you know, he doesn't even have a ride. First of all, he doesn't have a ride in this dunya. He doesn't have a camel. He doesn't have a donkey. He doesn't have nothing. No gada. So he's like, I can't get from here to like Mecca or Medina, like different cities. You're telling me 70 years? Like, how am I going to get to that? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made your house suspended in the heavens, like just suspended there without any pillars, is going to get you flight there. Don't worry, you're going to get there. Don't worry how that's going to happen.
Don't worry how that's going to happen.
It was so simple, but he accepted. He's like, oh, all right, that's it. He's worried about getting to that house. MashaAllah.
Yeah, but the thing about the Bedouin, like, I think the best, about the horses and the cows and all these different things, Bedouins would ask the best questions. One person came and said, Ya Rasulullah, uhibbul khayl, you know, will there be horses in Jannah? And the Prophet said, and he says, In adkhalakallahu Jannah, Ya Abdurrahman, his name is Abdurrahman. He said, Oh Abdurrahman, if Allah gives you entrance in Jannah, kana laka fiha faras min yaqut, you will have a horse. SubhanAllah, you'll have a horse made from ruby, which will have two wings, and the horse will fly wherever you desire. So I'm thinking that guy wanted that. Everyone has their own desires. And, you know, one person came and said, one time the Prophet said a hadith in Bukhari, this hadith in Bukhari, he says, إِنَّ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ جَنَّةِ إِسْتَأْذَنَ رَبَّهُ فِي الزَّرْعِ. That a villager comes and he said, Ya Rasulullah, a person will ask in Jannah, ask Allah permission to farm. Allah will say to him, don't you already have whatever you desire? Because the moment you see a bird, it just comes roasted right on your plate. You eat it and you throw the bones out. The moment you throw the bones out, it becomes a bird again. You know, and we'll be like, yo, come back over here, buddy. You know, eat it again and it becomes bones and it tries to fly away. Right away, this is happening, right? So what else do you need? Don't you already have whatever you desire? He said, well, I can uhibbu an azra. But I want to, he'll say, I love farming. And then he's, Allah will say, okay, go ahead, do what you want to do, right? You get whatever you want. He will plant his crop, and in a split second, it will grow tall and be ready for harvest. And after it's harvested, this crop will be as big as mountains. And then Allah will say to him, دُونَكَ يَبْنَ آدَمْ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُشْبِعُكَ شَيْءٍ. Here it is. Take this, buddy, because nothing satisfies you. SubhanAllah. Inshallah, we will, we will get, that's the place where all of our difficulties that we felt in this world, with a dip of, one dip in paradise. One dip.
Well, you know that tour, you know the sneak peek tour of Jannah? فَيُسْبَغُ سِبْغَةً فِي الْجَنَّةِ.
Say the hadith, Bajan.
فَيُؤْتَى بِرُجُلْ. Yeah. You know, a person will be brought on the Day of Judgment, بِشَدَّ بُؤْسٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا, who went through the most difficulty. You know, Allah will call him and says, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ خَيْرًا قَطُّ هَلْ مَرَّ بِكَ نَعِيمًا قَطُّ. Did you see anything good in your life? And this man will say, La ya Rab, everything was miserable. This woman, it could be a sister. This person is going to say, everything was miserable in my life. My parents, my children, my spouse. I just had a hard time. And there are people like that. You know, we complain about our life, but there are people in the world that have it harder than us. And Allah will say to the angels, take him to Jannah and give him a little tour. فَيُسْبَغُ سِبْغَةً فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And he will do a small, small tour of Jannah, come back. And then Allah will ask him, did you see any difficulty? He's going to say, La wallahi, I forgot everything. I forgot. Just by seeing Jannah, imagine when you sit there and you enjoy with the people that you lost, the loved ones, all the pain just goes away. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Everything is gone. The Prophet ﷺ did that. He said that to Khadija, right? Khadija radiallahu anha only saw the difficult years of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember, right? The first 10 years of prophethood. And the last year of Khadija's life, the last months of Khadija radiallahu anha's life, Ja'a Jibreel, and he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Anha Khadija ja'atka bi inayin fihi ta'amun aw sharab." Khadija is coming. She has a plate. She has food inside this utensil. Akhbir min Rabbiha as-salam wa minni. Give Allah salam to her. Give my salam to her. وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا نَصَبَ فِيهَا وَلَا صَخَبٍ لَا نَصَخَبَ فِيهَا وَلَا نَصَبٍ. Tell her she's guaranteed a palace in Jannah made out of a ruby or a pearl, صَخَب, you know, قَصَب, لُؤْلُو. It's like, you know, it's like a pearl, it's a hollow pearl, and that's what she's going to get. And and there's not going to be no worries. لَا صَخَبَ فِيهَا وَلَا نَصَبٍ. No noise, no worries. You know, sometimes everything is perfect, but people are crying, people are making noise, phones are ringing, the hectic lifestyle, that That self gives you so much trouble. SubhanAllah, you know, after all this world, just want to relax in Jannah. That's it.
Well, then that's the beauty of it, inshallah. You know, that's
so how far are we from Jannah? That's one thing I told Abu, you know. Abu, our dad was, you know, he was crying so much after Abdurrahim rahmatullah alayh. And I remind myself too, you know, Al-Jannah أقرب من أحدكم من شراكن عليه والنار مثل ذلك. Jannah is not far away. It is not far. قوموا إلى جنتكم عرضها السماوات والأرض. فقال بخن بخن جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying in Badr to Umair bin Hammam, get up and go to the Jannah bigger than the heavens and this earth. The guy, the Umair bin Hammam رضي الله عنه Al-Ansari says, Jannah عرضها السماوات bigger than the heavens and the earth. The Prophet said, yeah, big paradise. He says, بخن بخن. He gets so excited. The Prophet ﷺ says, ما حملك على ما قلت بخ بخ. What made you get so excited and say بخ بخ? The man says, رجاء أن أكون من أهلها. I just want to be part of that Jannah. I want to be in that Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ says, you know, أرجو أن تكون من أهلها. Inshallah, you will be from that Jannah. And then the man has dates in his hand. This is just the first few minutes of Badr. The man has dates in his hand. And he says, "إن أنا حييت حتى آكل هؤلاء هذه أو هذه تمراتي إنها لحياة طويل فألقى تمرات كنا في يدي فقاتل حتى قتل." And then he says, "ركضا إلى الله بغير زاد إلا التقى وعمل المعادي والصبر في الله على الجهاد وكل زاد عرضة النفاد." He just goes and he runs and he dips himself into the defense of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But when he dips himself, he lands in Jannah. That's what happens. You know, he arrives in Jannah. That's it.
So, man. And they come to, and the angels of Jannah come to receive you the moment you leave this world.
Yeah.
How far are you from Jannah? But Jannah, the longer the wait, the more it's gonna be, the more pleasure we're gonna get when we get there. And if we really yearn for Jannah, then we would not be uncomfortable hearing about death. We would not be uncomfortable sacrificing for the sake of Allah. It would not make us uncomfortable standing for the sake of Allah. You know, giving everything up for the sake of Allah. Because a person, you know, who the more you give up here, the more you earn there, you know?
And wow, that was good. That was good. Say that again.
The more you give up here, the more you earn there. You know, that's how it works. Ad-dunya mazra'at al-akhirah. You know, that's the bottom line. So one is to yearn for it, but one is, yeah, that yearning should push us, you know? I think Sheikh Abdullah said this before, like, the bridge between motivation and action is discipline, right? So like you have to be motivated, and that motivation.
I didn't say that, but it sounds like me. It sounds very intellectual.
I'm not sure if it was you or Sheikh Abdullah Dora. I'm not sure.
Sounds good. Sounds like I can say like that.
So I try to give credit wherever I hear things, you know. The bridge between motivation and action is discipline, you know. So just consistently doing the small deeds throughout our life. And having that shawq for the liqa rabb, you know, just to be in front of Allah, so that's not uncomfortable anymore. I mean, it's not when we have that thinking about every moment of our life, this could be our last moment. It's not uncomfortable anymore, knowing that we're going to be going there. You know, Iqbal rahmatullah alayh, he thinks beyond that. Like, you know, he about Jannah.
Yeah, you have some Iqbal for me.
I mean, this one is like this one is even this poem is even hard for me to understand. But there's one line that I do understand.
If there's a line you can't understand, I'll explain to you. why do you find me funny? That wasn't even funny. I don't know why everything is so funny.
Yeah, bro, like, you can't, I know you can't explain it to me.
Well, you never know, man.
So this is the biggest, this is the worst.
I'll make the kutta, the billy, the kutta.
This is the world's, you know, best kept secret is Dr. Jawad, he's from Flint. Great guy, one of our board members of Miftah, and he wants us to everything we do, and as you know, as an organization, we have to go by this by the guidebook of traction. Traction traction is the way.
It's like the Bible of our meetings.
He's like, the traction is the Bible of organization. It's a great book, and it has good strategies of how to run the board and this and that. Beautiful. I mean, he's, you know, a man of integrity and professionalism. So. He says, all right, everyone has to buy this book and read it. Now, of course, Dr. Jawad respects Sheikh Abdullah like crazy. He respects all of us. But Sheikh Abdullah is a sheikh. So I get the book. Mufti Buhab gets the book. I'm not sure if Mufti Buhab gets the book. I get the book. I'm not sure if Sheikh Abdullah ever bought the book.
Oh, yeah, I have the book, of course.
So one, we know for sure, like, you know, in front of Dr. Jawad, he's talking about we have to go by tracks and this and that. So we know for sure that Sheikh Abdullah has never even seen the cover of this book. Like, we know this. This guy has not seen the cover of this book.
You know where I'm sitting? I'm sitting in the library right now, man. The book's all over my back right now.
Okay, you don't have traction for sure. So then one day, he forgot that he's talking to me, Mufti Abdul-Wahhab. So he calls us. He said, guys, you know, we have to stick by traction. And we have to go by what's said in the book of traction. And he forgot that, you know, it's only us three and Dr. Jawad's not there. And me, Mufti Abdul-Wahhab, just started laughing. Like, Bajan, you have not even seen the cover. Could you tell us how the cover looks? Is it, oh,
it's,
yo, my
orange, it's orange and black. Man, I know this book pretty well.
Dr. Jawad, I hope if you're watching, man, it's not our fault. Sheikh Abdullah hasn't read traction. But so don't, I can't, this just the same way when you said that, it made me laugh because I'm not sure how much Iqbal poetry you can explain to me. But this one is, it's basically.
I'm writing a sharah, a commentary on that book.
On traction?
Yeah.
All right, bro. This can be the first commentary I've ever written without reading the book. But it's all good.
Okay. You got some jokes today.
The poem, you know, he writes, he says, you know, it's about, you know, how there's, so people have different motivations to get to paradise. Whichever one is yours, grab onto it, right? So for us, it could be seeing our brother again. For us, for somebody, it could be, I want to be healthy forever again. And for some people, whatever it is, like, you know, I was not granted a good voice. I want to have a good voice. You know, I don't want no Wi-Fi, whatever it is. I just want to be in place and just chill, relax, you know, drink some wine, whatever it is.
Who wants to drink wine?
In Jannah, whatever my motivation is.
You know? Sorry, I got a little lost there.
No, come on. People have different motivations. People who are intoxicated, you know, they were addicted, now they're not, and they want to just get back to Jannah and so they can get the real refined wine. So Iqbal, he says, my motivation, he says, Teri ishq ki intiha chahta hun, meri saadgi dekh kya chahta hun. He says, oh Allah, I just want you to be completely, I want to have complete love for you. That's it. That's all I want. In my heart, that's all I want is I want to love you in completion. Nothing else. Perfect love for you, oh Allah. That's all I desire. I don't even desire Jannah. And then he says, subhanAllah, he says, Ye Jannat Mubarak rahe zahidon ko, ki main aapka samna chahta hun. For the pious people who are working hard, unke liye Jannat Mubarak. Le lo, Jannat le lo. Jannat Mubarak. But main aapka samna chahta hun. Oh Allah, I just want to see you.
Wow.
So I, you know, ye jannat mubarak rahe zahidon ko.
Wow.
You know, may this jannah be mubarak for the ones who are working hard. And
yeah, the ones who tried hard for it.
Yeah, but I just want to see you, Allah. Wow. And then he says, koi dam ka mehman hoon ae ahle mahfil, chiraghe sahar hoon buja chahta hoon. He says, I'm like that night, you know, that candle that's been, you know, that's on the entire night. It's, the flame is on the entire night and it's slowly the wax is finishing. He's like, I'm that morning, chiraghe sahar hoon. Like, I'm at the end of my life. I want this flame to end so I could actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what I'm saying? Wow. So he gives his
benefit. He wrote this poem later in his life then.
For sure. I mean, and then he says, then at the end he says, Bari bazam mein raaz ki baat keh di. This was his, he said, this is my
secret. This is my secret.
He's like, this is my secret all my life. Bari bazam mein raaz ki baat keh di. Bara be-adab hoon, saza chahta hoon. He says, you know, he says, oh Allah, I know I'm disrespectful, but I don't mind you punishing me, but I want to see you first. You know, you know, like, it's like sometimes people just want to come see you, even if you like tell them off. He's like, buddy, bazam mein raaz ki baat keh di. This was my secret all my life. I mean, people think I want Jannah. No, my secret is I just want to see you. Bara be-adab hoon. I know I'm saying that. Sounds a little disrespectful. Well, if you want, you can punish me. But at the end of the day, I'm seeing all this out of my love for you. So beautiful. Iqbal puts all this.
Yeah, so that is a top notch poem. That is top notch.
Right?
So beautiful. That is such a beautiful poem. It's a poem about the ashiq, the lovers.
Yeah. When Akif Farid comes on next time, I'm going to make him recite it because I definitely can't recite that one for sure. But he recited this poem recently. It's beautiful. When he recited it, it was beautiful.
Everyone wants to hear you sing, but we're way past the hour. We're at 10:05. We have Taraweeh. Brothers and sisters, we have a special program tonight. We, inshallah, at midnight tonight, we'll have Zain Bika. He has come out with a very new poem, a new nasheed. I heard it. It's beautiful. It's about the seerah. And I was I was very impressed by the lyrics. Usually, Munshids, their lyrics don't really impress. You know, it's just a lot of words. But this was nice because it was meaningful. It was educational for kids. It was excellent. And I hope he's going to follow through with the theme that he has, season one or series one on the Seerah, and he'll do more. So Zain Bika will be on tonight at 12:30 with another guest, another scholar. Mufti Abdul Wahab will be on here. Mufti Saab, like always, tantalizes us, mesmerizes us.
Zain, I'm actually thinking about joining tonight so I could sing the English Nasheed and see what he thinks about it.
You know, if you join tonight, I will pay you to sing in front of him. I will pay you. You know, and honestly, that would
I know if I come on tonight and sing, everyone's gonna laugh. So, and I want to waste people's.
No, I just be honest with you. You sing pretty good. So you and Zain Bika will be a good remix.
But that mean if we do that, you can't make this. You can't make, you know, what you did last time when I sang the English Nasheed. Remember what you did?
Yeah, I know what I did. I know what I did. I'm not gonna do it right now.
So you can't do it if I come on.
Yeah, it happens. It naturally. If you make that same type of voice, it'll affect me. So I'll do it again. But not now. But Mufti Abdul Rahman, we hope to. If you're gonna be there, that's excellent. I'll see you at 12:30, inshallah. So I'm not gonna say really full wida. You know, I'm gonna farewell you and see you again, inshallah, properly. And brothers and sisters, keep us in your du'as. Today is the 27th night. It's an odd night. It's a big night. I mean, jokes aside, we have to drop some tears. You know, sometimes it's good to cry. Sometimes it's good to smile. Sometimes it's good to laugh. Right now, it's the time to repent. And we want to repeat, Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbul afa fa'fu anna. Make a lot of dua. Whatever form of, you have benefited from, in any way or form that you have benefited from the Miftah programs, make dua. Miftah sustainers, I'm not going to ask you for Miftah sustainers. But if you want to become a Miftah sustainer, go ahead. But more importantly, dua. Dua for Mufti Saab, his family, for my family, my mother, my father, our dear brothers and dear brother, rahmatullah alayh, for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for our institute. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make us sincere, make us do the right work in the right way that's most pleasing to him. May it not be that we're thinking we're doing something right, doing something, and then it turns, you know, and it's slapped back on our face on the Day of Judgment. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the ikhlas that's needed for us to be accepted. And all of you guys, the ikhlas too. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for joining us. I hope you guys are enjoying. I hope you guys are learning. We're not done yet. We have a few nights left. I will give you a heads up on the last night, Khatam al-Quran, inshallah. We'll try to have a nice dua. And when we do the last juz, we'll try to bring someone on to do dua. We'll try to do a little appeal for Miftah so you guys can support it. Keep up the great work, guys. May Allah accept everything you've done. Jazakallahu khairan, Mufti Saab. Salaamu alaikum.
Salaam.